Hi, this is Tony Coomer, and welcome to the Ministry to Children podcast. Today, I have on the line with me Amy Fenton Lee, and most of you will remember Amy from previous podcasts and from her really excellent website called The Inclusive Church, which is all about helping churches reach out to families with special needs. But today, I've got Amy on the line with a totally different topic, because Amy, as I found out, grew up as a pastor's kid, and her dad is still in ministry today. She grew up in small churches to big churches. This is a topic that interests me. So this is just a topic that is important to me. So I wanted to have Amy on the podcast to talk this over. So Amy, welcome.
Thanks for having me. It's always fun to be here.
Well, let's talk about your experience. Now, growing up as a PK, overall, do you reflect on that experience as a net positive or a net negative for your life?
Oh, definitely positive. Definitely positive. I am really close to my father. He and I still talk sometimes daily. And I believe in his ministry, and I believe in, I know that God called him to do what he's doing, and I stand behind him, and I'm really proud of him. And I also love the experiences that I got as a pastor's kid. I think it's something that you can't easily replace, and to be honest, I have, I grieve sometimes that my own child won't have some of those experiences because I am married to someone who's not in ministry, and I am an active volunteer at my church, very involved in the day-to-day what's going on at my church, but it's not the same as being the pastor's kid or a staff kid. And I just think that the experience and the way you get to enter people's lives by being in ministry is unique, and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Sometimes it's said that pastors' families are held to an unfair standard. Do you find that's true in your own life?
Yes, it's true. Are pastors and their families held to unfair standards? Yes, they are. That's been my personal experience. Sometimes if I were to mess up, let's say in middle school, or if I were to mess up at church, my teacher might be more quick to tell my parents, oh, Amy misbehaved tonight. And then as I get on and I get in high school, I remembered that if something happened, if I were to get caught in trouble, and I wasn't a bad kid, and largely because I didn't want to be shamed and embarrassed. That was a big reason I didn't cause problems for my parents. But, you know, if I did make a misstep, I felt that it did get called out more quickly, and people were surprised. Oh, that's the Fenton's daughter. You know, he's the pastor of the church. Even if it was a high school teacher, let's say, that didn't go to our church, I did feel that they had expectations. But the flip side of that is, you know, I knew why my dad did what he did. I knew that we were held to sometimes unfair standards. And I grew up with my dad saying over and over again from 1 Timothy 3, you know, you have to live above reproach. And there were times I resented that, but there were also times that I knew what the benefit was, and that was that I didn't want anything to get in the way of somebody seeing Jesus Christ and somebody coming to know Jesus Christ. And if, because my family, they developed a relationship and maybe with us, and maybe we were their first step toward coming to church or figuring out what being a Christian was all about, I didn't want to stand in the way of that. And so even though it was unfair standards sometimes, you know, I look back at it and I see it as an uncommon opportunity. And it was in those times that sometimes somebody would talk to me maybe about the issue that they thought that they had a preconceived notion about the way I should behave or an expectation. But sometimes those conversations ended up leading to more conversations where somebody, whether it was me or my parent, had the opportunity to talk about our faith and why we lived the way we did. And so, yes, it's unfair, but there are so many things about being a Christian that are unfair. The early Christians were persecuted, and you just make a decision. Am I going to really live for Christ? And that sometimes means have some unfair things happen to you as a pastor's family. You just kind of make the decision, are you in or are you not? And I have two younger sisters, and I think all three of us really believed in what my dad was doing. And so we just accepted it and took it with the territory. Now, that didn't mean that there weren't times we didn't get angry. And, you know, there's some people I reflect on and go, oh, I don't like the expectations you held me to. I may not have a preference for those people. But on the whole, it just goes with the territory, and it's part of that, you know, now I understand that's part of the decision of living a submitted life is sometimes unfairness.
Amy, you don't strike me as a particularly bitter person, and sometimes the stereotype for pastors' kids is that these are kids who grow up in the church, but then they later, a lot of times, struggle with resentment and bitterness. And even on Wikipedia, there's an article on pastors' kids' syndromes or preacher kids' syndrome that describes that very thing. Do you understand why this happens, and why do you think personally you're not that kind of person?
Well, it does happen, and if for those who know me well, and if any of my friends are listening to this, some of them know that I have a very sarcastic side, I have a very real side, and sometimes my glass is half full and sometimes it's half empty. So in all candor, yeah, I get that, and I can be that person at times. Especially when I smell hypocrisy, and there's nothing that is more distasteful to me than hypocrisy from a Christian. It's hard, and I think as a pastor's kid, you see that. But the reason that I would not say that I'm more bitter or resentful is really, a lot of that is attributable to my parents, and that was, they allowed us to be honest with them, and they were honest back. And so if something was happening, especially if it directly related to our family with the church, and one of us said, hey, we don't like how John Smith is acting. That person, there's something that doesn't smell right about them and their faith. My mom and dad allowed us to talk about that. And there's a fine line between being judgmental of those people, but also going, you know what, there's something wrong there. I don't know what it is. I see what you're talking about when it comes to that hypocrisy, and I don't like it either. And so my mom and dad always allowed us to be real. The other thing is that my mom and dad did, an overall really good job of separating out what their expectations were for us as their children from how should these kids act because they're the pastor's kids. And what I mean by that is it's very easy for a person in a senior leadership in a church to want their children to behave a certain way because it helps their career. For example, you've got a kid who is just over church. I mean, we've talked about on your website, there's been a lot of articles about over church kids. I think that's just a great topic to cover. If you've got a kid who is becoming resentful toward church and he's just over it, he's had it, he doesn't like, maybe he doesn't have good friends at church. My mom and dad allowed us times to pull back. And what I mean by that is, like on Wednesday night, I remember during one of my years, and I think it was eighth grade, that I did not like the class and the programming that was happening on Wednesday night. And I didn't have friends in there, and it just wasn't a fun experience for me. And my mom and dad decided not to pick that battle with me. And they said, that's fine. If you can go to the church library and get your homework done during that time. The same thing, there was another year that I had a baseball tournament that fell, or there were several nights I was playing softball, and they fell on Wednesday nights. And my mom and dad did not make me give that up to go to church on Wednesday night. Now, the converse of that is I was always at church on Sunday morning, and I can remember griping and saying one of the years, I don't like my Sunday school teachers. And my mom and dad said, well, this is a non-negotiable. It is biblical to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And it doesn't matter if you are the pastor's kid or not. You still have to go to church on Sunday mornings. If you live in this house, we are going to honor the Bible and stay according to Scripture. And so I think my mom and dad tried to raise us as any parent would. At the same time, they gave us the freedom to not go to church or on those occasions and in the right situations, to not have to be a part of every church event. They allowed us to be individuals, and so we weren't always, so it didn't build that resentment up. And I see sometimes pastors' families push their kids to act a certain way in public because of their own pride. And, you know, rather than let their kid struggle and the family be real, hey, we have problems too, they want to present a front, where it's really the pride they're protecting then rather than it is openly letting the kids be themselves and face their struggles. So, you know, I just see the sin of pride come in a lot in pastors' families. And I can't say we didn't struggle with it because I think we did. But on the whole, that was an issue. And I think that the fact that all three of us have turned out okay, you know, depending on which one of us you ask and on the day of the week, but we're all at really good places in our lives, I think that had more to do with my parents than anything.
Well, let's talk more about what your parents did right.
They were very open and honest with us. Like, for example, if there was a time that a family in the church needed something, like I can remember, you know, the phone ringing in the middle of the night and my dad getting up and leaving, and the next day all of our plans kind of changed, which included plans for what my dad was going to do with us girls. Well, it was because a family lost a baby in the night. Their baby died. And gosh, I still get emotional talking about sometimes some of this stuff. You know, my parents told us what was happening. They didn't sugarcoat it. And to a small degree, they allowed us to enter the pain of the family that my dad was working with. And maybe we didn't meet with the family, but we knew what he was doing. And so because they were honest with us, you know, it didn't make us resent him for the times that he was helping somebody else and that we felt shortchanged. And there was just a lot of honesty. And just like I said earlier, when we experienced hypocrisy from whether it was somebody inside the church or maybe it was a staff member. I mean, there's hypocrisy in ministry. I'm going to call it what it is. And when we experienced that, my parents allowed us to talk about it. And, you know, we were always allowed to be honest, even if mom and dad said, okay, you know, you're heading in the area of being judgmental or your honesty is revealing some sin in your life. We did talk about it, but we were never punished or not allowed to have very honest conversations, which included them sometimes sharing things that were going on in the church. And we knew we had to keep things confidential. And my dad was very careful what he shared. I think he did a very good job of not always sharing details that were confidential. But we did know enough things that, you know, that they shared with us the reasoning behind a lot of things that were happening. And so we didn't have anything to rebel to go, well, that's not fair. We got it. We understood.
Amy, when I think of what you're doing right now with your inclusive church ministry and some of the other things you've done, in what ways did your parents help you develop your own sense of mission, maybe apart from what your dad was doing already?
Well, I want to back up and talk about the idea of mission. You know, I didn't realize it at the time, but now I look back and I see that my dad was casting a vision, not just for the church, but for our family. And I understood at a very young age what the mission was of our family. And I didn't always have to follow it directly. I mean, my mom and dad allowed me and my sisters to develop spiritually on our own. And if that meant, you know, we were like, you know, I'm not on board with this Jesus thing, I think that they would have given us some space and not crammed it down our throats, so to speak. But looking back, you know, my parents sold us on the mission of the ministry. And, you know, I think there's a parallel in children's ministry. You know, for the volunteer that serves every Sunday in the nursery wiping noses, or the first grade teacher who teaches every week and has got this one kid that drives them crazy and, you know, gets to a place they're like, I'm tired. I just don't want to teach anymore. I'm tired of dealing with this one kid. But then they step back and they're reminded why they're doing what they're doing and the bigger picture in mind. Then it kind of makes you want to go back and wipe noses again or, you know, do whatever the hard part of the ministry is. And it was the same thing in our family. There were sacrifices we made. There were ugly days in ministry. But we knew why we were doing what we were doing. And that that really, you know, that planted those long-term seeds that I love the fact that I grew up so purposed. And so now I've continued that in that I worked in the secular world for almost 10 years. And then I stopped and had got married and had a child. And then as various situations happened in my own life, it enabled me to sort of enter into ministry on my own, which is now doing the Inclusive Church. And I think a lot of that was born out of the idea that I loved being purposed growing up. I knew what I was getting up to do in the day, and I knew it was about something bigger than me. And I think that's a huge gift you can give your kids. as a pastor's family. And yeah, my dad totally stands behind the ministry that I have now with the Inclusive Church. It's very, very different, obviously, than what he does on a day-to-day basis, although we talk a lot about each other's ministry because there's a lot of parallel. And I want to bring up one other example, and that is Jim Weideman and Yancey. You know, your kids and your the children of pastors, those are your first volunteers. I mean, whether we like it or not, we're staying late after church, having to help do something. And while we're there, why don't we set out the chairs? Why don't we, you know, clean up an area of the church that we're playing around in while mom and dad are trying to get their things together and leave on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night? And, you know, I know Jim has talked about the fact, you know, Yancey was still hanging around, you know. And, you know, Yancey now has her own ministry. And I just think that they are another great example of how a pastor's family and relationship can work out in a way that Jim has such a great legacy with so many people, but one of them is Yancey and her own ministry. And so I just think that's worth pointing out.
We talked about what your parents did right. What do you think there might be some things you wish your parents had done differently?
There's definitely things I wish that they'd done different, but they're also related to their strengths. You know, a person's strength is also their weakness. And I will also tell you, it's the very same things I do wrong now, very same things. And that is that looking back, I wish there had been a few times my mom and dad, and especially my dad, had been more trusting that God would work out a situation in the church and been able to maybe stay on the course with our family. Maybe it was for a committed, maybe it was for an event, for example. My dad has a very, very high work ethic, and there's a lot of talk now about putting your family before your job, and I agree with that, and that is where I would say my dad could have done better, is that, you know, his commitment to the church, I would say at times, probably did win out over the family. But having said that, I think I would rather my dad err in the direction that he erred, because we were part of his ministry, and sometimes looking back, some of the things that he didn't say no to, I do know why he didn't say no, and they were hard decisions at the time. So, you know, I guess I would just say that there would have been a few more times that Dad would have probably set better boundaries for himself, and even set some boundaries to protect himself in terms of his emotional energy. There are times that I think he came home and he may have been physically present, but he was petered out. He was, I mean, it had been a hard day at work, and he was emotionally maybe not as present for my mom, even more than us kids, because he had poured so much of himself into a family in the church or into a staff situation, developing. Right now I know he has a pretty large staff, and it does take a lot out of a person to develop and mentor along people on your staff. And so, you know, I think there were a lot of times and still are times that probably Dad has not kept enough in reserve for the family. But I say that, and he knows that. I mean, I'm not speaking against any of that. But at the same time, I know why he's made a lot of the decisions he has, and I would say it's also his strength. And I, you know, if we were to go back and relive some of the individual instances that you wish or I wish had been different, I have to say it would be really hard knowing all of the details. How would you walk away from this without maybe our family being impacted in a different way? Maybe, you know, maybe Dad would have lost his job in some of those cases. I don't know, but it's hard to say. But I am saying it's been a struggle, an ongoing struggle for to keep the balance of family and work. But I don't fault him even for the times that I think and wish maybe could have been different. In the end, you know, I think us three girls turned out okay, and I think we get his mission, we get why he does what he does, and we totally and completely believe in what he does. And by the way, my sisters are both active members of the church where my dad pastors in Birmingham. My husband and I, we live in Atlanta, and I still consider Dawson my home church. And still like to think of myself as a part of that faith community. But my sisters are both very active in the church. You know, one other thing I want to bring up is that being a pastor's family, it's hard. It is. And I can remember times being really frustrated over the politics of the inside of the church. And as a pastor's family, you hear and you see those things. And you know some things that happen that are just not fair. But the but is there are hard things in every family. And, you know, to not be a pastor's family. Maybe you're a military family where a dad isn't just gone a lot, but gone all the time in Afghanistan for a year. So, or maybe you're in a family where it's a single parent home, you know, and I just think it's important to remember those things, because it is very hard to be a pastor's wife, especially, but pastor's kids, and there are some unique burdens that families like that carry. But I think it's really important to keep it in perspective and remember that most families, most, not all, but most families have something really difficult and challenging that happens a part of their life. It just may be different.
Well, let me ask you a hypothetical question here. If you were talking to a pastor who maybe was considering leaving the ministry because they saw the impact that it was having on their wife and their kids, and they just thought the stress was too much, what advice would you give to that pastor?
Well, pray about the situation that you're in. First of all, there are toxic groups of people, and so sometimes the frustration may be more, just to be honest, related to where you're serving. So first, seek discernment in that area. Is the problem my vocation, or is the problem in where I'm serving right now? Is this the best place for my family? But if the problem is not your vocation, then I would really encourage someone to really think about the benefits of ministry to the family. For example, I feel like growing up in a pastor's home, it was the forever mission trip. You know, we talk about how if somebody goes on a mission trip, they come back changed. They've entered people's lives. They've seen the world from a very different perspective, and they're changed. That's how I reflect on my time growing up as a pastor's kid. I got to enter people's lives without actually having to live sometimes the harsh realities of those lives. I got to see what some of the consequences were for bad choices. I got to see bad choices redeemed. I got to see things that didn't have anything to do with choices but were just unfortunate set of events, illnesses, or something tragic that just inexplicably happened to a family. And I got to walk through from an observer standpoint, but I got to walk through the journey of so many families because of what my dad did. And it changed me. It changed me. And so I wouldn't trade that experience. From a less spiritual and maybe less admirable standpoint, I loved the fact that my family was exposed to so many people at so many socioeconomic levels. In some of the churches that my dad served in, we had very high-profile people that were members. And, you know, maybe we got to meet with the governor, or we were friends with people who maybe were from different political parties, or maybe they lived in a world and operated in a world that they were 10 income levels above what my dad made. I mean, in ministry, you don't get rich. And in our early churches, we actually lived right at the poverty line, and we were poor in our first churches. It was really hard to pay the bills, to be honest. And then as Dad got to bigger churches, the churches could afford to pay my dad better and in a way that, honestly, our basic needs were met. And at some of the other churches, it was just a really hard go. But we were never wealthy by any means, and because of my dad's job, we got to rub shoulders with and be exposed to people of all different income levels. You know, maybe in a day we were meeting with somebody who was well known or affluent, influential in government, and then later in the day we were working with someone who was at the extreme poverty and serving in some sort of a situation where we were getting to know people that lived a very different life than we did from that perspective. And so I just would say there are very few vocations that people can have that gets to bring their kids along and take them on a lifelong mission trip. And so it's like I said earlier, there are days I'm sad over the fact that the life I live right now isn't bringing my son along in the way that my parents brought us along. And I really do credit the experiences I had of being a pastor's kid to why my faith is what it is. You know, my faith is not about a single moment salvation experience. It's about a life of being able to see God move in other people's lives and in my lives and seeing evidence of his presence, you know, down here on earth. And it's through those experiences that sort of shaped me who I am. And so I would just say, pray about it if you're thinking about leaving the ministry, but think about what your family might miss in the process.
Well, Amy, that's such great advice, and I appreciate you coming on and sharing your experience with us through this podcast.
Thanks, Tony. I love talking about this subject. I am actually very passionate about it.